So Mike Smith is the iwi leader whose landmark Supreme Court case aimed to hold major emitters like Fonterra accountable for climate change. He's now facing a government move to change that law and shut that case down even before it reaches trial. And I thank you for joining us on the program again. Te tūkana, tēnā koe, Mike.
Mōrena Dale, tēnā koe.
I was disappointed, surprised, bordering on infuriated once again that efforts by Māori interests to try and protect our environment being stymied by political will. The case was due to go to court in April of next year, but now a wedge has been thrown into those plans with a move by the Minister of Justice, Paul Goldsmith. The government says, Mike, that your case creates uncertainty for business. So how do you respond to that argument that climate lawsuits like yours destabilise the economy?
Well, there's nothing like a big storm like we've experienced, you know, 9 big storms in a row. Cyclone Gabriel, Cyclone Hale, the Auckland anniversary floods. So $14 billion worth of damage to the economy. And the specter that these things are just going to keep on rolling in and accelerating as time goes by because of the climate emergency that we're in. So, I mean, it's a nonsense. That's just the excuse that they're using to shut down our court case because we want to hold those companies accountable.
Let's list those companies again. They're big players. They're big names. To be honest, when you first lodged the case, I was somewhat surprised but also enthused by the thought that an individual can put a claim to the courts that your human right to being contravened and the six companies that were targeted in your approach are significant organisations. If you'd be kind enough to list them, please, Mike.
Oh, okay. So the BT Mining is one of them. Fonterra is another one. New Zealand Steel is another one. The other ones are sort of Bathurst. Probably people haven't even heard of them. They're reasonably insignificant. But those are the big ones.
You've described, and it's been described, as unprecedented. So what does it mean for the rule of law if Parliament can effectively stop what many are identifying as a live court case in its tracks? Has this happened before? And what would you say about the way it is an incursion on your rights now that the parliamentary process has stepped in and clouded out the legislative?
Yes, well, it has happened before. It's exactly what happened with this foreshore and seabed situation from back in the days. When there was Māori wanted to take the government to court to test whether or not they had what's described as perfect title, or in human language that means that whether or not the government had ownership of the foreshore and seabed, and Māori wanted to test that, and the government said, no, we're not going to let you go to court. So it's a refusal, once again, it's a refusal to allow allow people their day in court, which is one of the cornerstones of a so-called democracy. And so, yeah, it's outrageous that they're doing this. And it's, you know, I mean, goodness, this is not a banana republic. This is not communist. This is not a communist country where everybody's told what to do with the government and you get dragged outside and shot if you don't. No, it's unprecedented. Well, it's not unprecedented, but it's an obscenity, for democracy.
We are seeing Māori approaches to life in our own land compromised constantly by this coalition government. Do you think this is a whack against somebody who has environmental concerns, or the fact that your tangata whenua and a high profile a member of our people, that there is something in that at play as well, Mike? Is it anti-Māori, anti-environment, or both?
Well, I think it's, they're really worried about it. You don't strike court cases out unless you're worried about it. It's a fairly extreme thing to do. So clearly we're on the money. Clearly...
This case has merit. The Supreme Court said so. I mean, this case has been running for 7 years, and it's been up and down the court system, you know, the lower courts, up to the High Court, the Court of Appeal, even up to the highest court in the land, and that's where five judges sat on the bench, and they said, yes, this case does have merit. It's a case that deserves to be heard. Let's go. And they put down a date, and clearly that has the government shaking in their boots. And, you know, so in a way, it validates the case itself. It validates the arguments that we are using. And it just goes to show what extreme lengths that this country will go to, or this government will go to protect the polluters that are, you know, causing this epic, catastrophic, global climate emergency that we're locked into. And what is anti-Māori is the aspect of tikanga, which has been elevated in this case. And so, they're all indicators that the government is clearly worried, and that, you know, I think we can infer by that we're on the right track. But it's not over yet, Dale. I mean, we've got an election to get through, and if this government changes, and the polls are indicating that they're on pretty shaky ground, and if this government changes, well, we'll be having discussions with the Labor or the new coalition that comes into power about whether or not to scrub that off the books. And I think that, you know, that's going to be definitely on the agenda after the election. But just that in itself, Dale, I think highlights one of the problems that we have in Aotearoa, is that we don't have constitutional protection around some of the most important things to us as a nation, to us as Māori, to us as New Zealanders. In this country, without any constitutional protection, the government can do whatever it wants to do. There's no controls on what they do. And we're about one of the few Western countries in the world that doesn't have that type of overarching guardrails to ensure that parliaments don't do things like this. Now, they just can't make the rules up and change the rules as they go. I mean, we ran onto the field, if you like to use the sporting analogy, we ran onto the field expecting that this is the rules of the game and that we all agree to play by the rules. And so we run onto the field and we place the ball, we give it a boot, it's heading towards the goalpost. Next minute, you know, the government says, oh, well, hang on, wait a minute, looks like you're going to score a goal. Well, let's just shift the goalpost so that you miss. And you know, that's just that's no way to run a country. So if the claim is that the businesses require certainty, I would say having a situation where government can change the rules to suit themselves whenever it's not politically expedient for them, that's not certainty. That's just a country that's been run, you know, in a form of a dictatorship where there are no rules and they just make the rules up to suit themselves as they go on. And, you know, that's no way to run a country. So, but yeah, as I was saying, Dale, it's not over yet. We've still got options in front of us. Funnily enough, that's not the only litigation I've got going at the moment. This particular one was against the seven top polluters, or the six top polluters now. So that's that one. But I've got another case, which is against the Attorney General, which is saying that the government is not doing enough about climate change. So one of them says the companies aren't doing enough, that they're the ones doing the polluting. The other court case says that the government's not doing enough because they're allowing them to do that. So by taking this action, they're just playing right into our hands in one respect and providing more evidence about how the government is dragging its heels on climate action, that it's choosing to stand beside the polluting industries as opposed to discharging its responsibility to us, the tangata of Whenua and the tangata Tiriti within Aotearoa.
Mike Smith is with us today. You're familiar with what's happening here. It's interesting too that the same sort of case is going to be heard about the response from the Attorney General. Mike, we know that our legal system is something like a chess game for legal minds and those with the quals. So while there's a move here by the Minister of Justice, I'm assuming that your representation are also looking at ways around the legislation or loopholes that exist in it currently. So it hasn't quashed your ambition in that sense, has it? It's just forcing you to change tack?
Yeah, well, we're on that tack already, but you're absolutely right. You know, the courts, only a few people get to fight in the courts. You know, the lawyers, the judges, that's the referees, the plaintiffs and the defenders. So it's a very constrained battle, if you like. But there's another court that's available to all of us to participate in, which is the Court of Public Opinion. And that's where I think we need to shift this, this now. I mean, climate change isn't something that just happens to lawyers and judges and Mike Smith and whoever. Something that's impacting on all of us. We've all got a stake in this. And so I think we now go to the Court of Public Opinion. And, you know, we campaign on these issues leading up to the election. I think it's just another example of where the Crown is, you know, is of government overreach, trampling on these types of things. And that, you know, the message that we're putting out is that New Zealanders ought to be really nervous about the way that the areas, the directions this country's government is taking us, you know. And so we'll be broadcasting those out as we go forward up to the election. It's 6 months before the election. If we don't like what's happening in regard to these things, we can change it. That's something that we can all do. We can all vote. We can all, you know, bring these issues to the attention of, you know, of the government and the MPs to say to them, you continue down this track, you're risking your political mandate. Yeah, we should make this, along with all our other concerns, the big issue for the election going forward, Dale.
Yeah, tēnā koe, tau tuku yō kōrero, te tūkana, tēnā koe. Mike Smith is with us. Mike, I speak regularly with Shane, and like, he's a climate change denier. We've got high-profile members of the coalition who believe that it's a falsehood, that it's not actually occurring. Yet you've quoted already this range of storm events, the economic cost borne by them. And now, of course, we know that communities like Whirinaki are considering, well, how can we move to higher ground? It's a kōrero that you've been sharing for many years now, that we must be mindful of sea rising and of climate issues hitting our coastal communities more and more. How difficult is it to get people to be serious about this issue when you've got high-profile politicians, some of them with ministerial responsibilities, saying that climate change doesn't exist?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. You know, Shane, I've known him since he was a young watermelon grower from Awanui. And he's not a climate denier. He publicly is, because he says that because he's in the pocket of the big extractive industries, like fisheries, like agriculture, like mining, all those big interest groups who are not changing their business models or their behaviour and causing all kinds of environmental problems. He's their man in Parliament. They give him campaign donations and they wine and dine him. He's a politician. So he's got to be broadcasting those types of messages to give those supporters of his confidence that he's got their back in Parliament with legislation and rules and regulations. But Shane's not an idiot. He knows the climate change is happening. It's happening around his ears. You know, he comes from Awanui, which is basically turning back into a wetland. You know, I know where their whānau grew up, and it's turning back into a wetland. You know, he can't be blind to that. So it's just cynical politics, Dale. You know, it's the politics of what they used to call pork belly politics. Is that the name for it? You know, where you get you're getting sort of handouts and support from the business sector, and you sing the songs they want to hear. Personally, he doesn't believe in climate change. He's just sucking people in. And that's what I think a lot of these politicians, these populist politicians, they play the race card. You know, even Māori ones, you know, Seymour, so-called Māori, Seymour, and Winnie, and you know, Shane Reti, and he's gone now, and Shane, and a lot of them, they play the race card on themselves, on ourselves, because they know that that's what gets them votes. The racists love them. They're the good Maoris, you know, and we're the bad Maoris. And but really, it's a devious game. And if I was one of those voters and I finally woke up to the fact that I'm getting played by these politicians, I'd be very, very upset with them, you know. How dare. I mean, I even feel sorry for them. Even the racists that are getting played, I feel sorry for them that they're getting played in this kind of way and whipped up into a form of hysteria so that the votes can be harvested, so these guys can go off to their next seafood conference dinner. You know, just come on. We need a bit more integrity in the politics of this country. We need, you know, we need to set down some constitutional rules, some guardrails around what politicians can and can't do. We need to set some visionary ambitions and lay down the intent of what it means to be Aotearoa and the kind of country that we want. And then we need to put that beyond the reach of politicians so that they don't play these scuzzy little beauty contest games about who's the most popular and who looks the good and how do you appeal to certain sectors. We need to stop that. You know, it's bad and shallow politics.
It's been a pleasure talking with you again. We'll follow the case forward, as you will, and looking forward to more kōrero about where we're at with us. With it, Mike Smith with us this morning. Thank you for your time today, Tuakana. Tēnā koe, Mike.
Hey, before you go, Dale, you know, you won't get into trouble because they've scrapped the Broadcasting Standards Authority.
So I don't think we contravene the Broadcasting Standards. You know.
Can say whatever we friggin' want now.
Well, don't hold back. Thanks, Mike. Tēnā koe.
Okay, bye.
Mike Smith.